For Blue Star Contemporary, this is the Artist Digest, and I'm Jacqueline Saragoza McGilvery, speaking with artists about their inspirations and practice. Today I'm speaking with Sarah Welch about her exhibition Giveth and Taketh. Sarah Welch is an artist, illustrator, and comics maker based in Houston, Texas. She is a regular collaborator with Letterpress and Risograph Print Service Mystic Multiples and a co-organizer with ZineFest Houston. Welch has participated in exhibitions nationally and artist residencies and education programs, including Skowhegan School of Painting and Sculpture, the McDowell Colony, Wesleyan University, and Lawndale Art Center. Sarah, let's start with talking about the Holdouts comics, which you made around the time you experienced Hurricane Harvey. Did the experience of Harvey influence or change your works, or did you see an impact on how viewers engaged with them?
So, book one, the first chapter of this Holdouts comic thing, we made the whole thing and self-published it in May 2017, and Harvey was August 2017. And so it was definitely a before and after from book one to two. I don't think it's influenced the way people view the work necessarily, because I think many people, they don't know about my personal experience with the flooding, and it's sort of, the narrative is sort of thinly veiled. Houston, it doesn't name Houston specifically anyway in the books, but for me, it was, writing The Fallout was a little bit different, because I think, I think it was there's more an emotional perspective, for sure, having experienced the first hand of it. It wasn't just coming up with some kind of reasonably believable future world. It was sort of how am I, as an individual person, taking this experience and dealing with it? Mm-hmm. And that's definitely reflected in the protagonist from book two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's more real experience, I guess, to influence the work.
Yeah, I think it's there's a little less literal stuff, literal activity in the story going on in book two. I think there's a lot more of a kind of psychological narrative taking place.
So that those books are kind of the core of the exhibition at Blue Star, titled Giveth and Taketh. Can you talk about where the title for the exhibition comes from?
Yeah, so the title is also, it's also the subtitle from book two, Holdouts, Giveth and Taketh. And it's kind of calling on a couple things. It's it's calling on the biblical reference. Mm-hmm. And the idea of this kind of flooding and extreme change feeling sort of apocalyptic, but it's also trying to speak to the give and take relationship humans have with the environment and the earth at large.
And that maybe kind of connects to where you're coming from with referencing Victorian mourning rituals, like the idea of give and take, or our impact and relationship. Where did the influences in the installation that are referencing Victorian mourning rituals come from, or can you talk about those elements of the installation?
Yeah, so part of the psychological narrative that's taking place in book two is about the protagonist basically going through a mourning, grieving process, dealing with just the loss of place, the loss of life, the loss of previous known experience, and so it's sort of applying those Victorian ideas, which were it's funny, I think in retrospect a lot of people see that Victorian mourning culture as very indulgent, and in a way, it might not make a make sense with a situation in which you're, like, being forced to, like, act on your feet all the time and just, like, move forward and, like, be resilient and, like, all that stuff people want out of, like, humans dealing with crises. But for me, I kind of wanted to, like, slow down the story and, like, reflect back through the character. So that's where some of the stuff in the installation, that ceramic piece, is, like, referencing, like, Victorian mourning jewelry. But it's sort of an object that's meant to channel the protagonist in this book, and it's supposed to be an object that could be ostensibly, like, made by that character. Like, if they were making a Victorian mourning object, what would that look like? So it has a lot of the pendants on it are, like, different reptiles and amphibians and plants and, like, animals that are, like, not long for this world. And the mural that's, like, on the far wall in the back of the installation room is sort of an abstraction of a mourning wreath. It's, like, a very sparse wreath shape that has an endangered plant that's referenced in the narrative in the comic. And that plant is making up, like, the wreath shape. And yeah, I think the reef shape and the idea of reefs and, like, non-linear, cyclical time is really important, because this comic and, like, the installation at large are kind of giving different perspectives, like, the individual human perspective versus, like, this perspective of the Earth and, like, that different timeline that's much longer than individual people's lives.
Yeah. Well, and thinking about mourning, you're obviously going to be thinking about your life beyond your physical body. And so there's also, like, a new kind of pool of the possibility of time, maybe, when you're thinking about, you know, spiritual space like that, and even kind of trying to connect your body to the earth, or, you know, to the impact on the earth, then it expands beyond your lifetime. With the relationship between your installations and your comics, and your publications, those really, the publications and the illustrations and all of that are a dominant part of your practice, and the installations are kind of a chance to expand that space, it seems like. Can you talk about how publications and comics became so central to what you do as an artist?
So actually, for some time I was doing installation and, like, interdisciplinary stuff before comics, and started, like, fell in love and got wrapped up in comics in 2010, somewhere in there, which seems like a long time ago now, but basically, when I was doing the comics, when you're doing the world building and inventing, like, the look of the place, like, imagining, like, rooms, like, you know, where a character might live, or clothing that he might wear, or, like, objects they might run into, in doing that and doing the world building, I got really excited about, like, inventing, like, objects and, like, spaces, and so the installations just felt like a natural extension of what I was already doing to make the books in the first place. So I just, like, had to see them together.
And specifically, the installations are usually the format of a reading room. So can you kind of maybe talk about how reading rooms function for book-based work, or as a specific type of installation?
Right. So with the reading rooms, the objects that are in them and the design of them are sort of, like, all being built simultaneously, like, in my mind while I'm also working on the comics. I'm, like, doing sketches and thinking about, like, a room in which these books would live, and drawing out things from the comics that, like, I feel like need to be seen in some three-dimensional way. So for those reading rooms, the copies of the comics will, exhibition copies will be in the room. They stay in the room, but people can take them down and read them, put them back, and they get to, like, read the full story, experience the space, like, see the objects in there and connect them back to the story that they've just read. And I like that kind of full interaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that it also gives them the space to slow down, and I think it also encourages multiple viewings of the exhibition, which I always enjoy, or like, I like when you come into a space and you know, like, oh, I have to come back. There's so much here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's funny, like, the books themselves are pretty short, but the work that goes into, like, making the books and, like, doing the space is can be, like, years long. Definitely a lot to see.
And also building your world both in the exhibition space and in the book format, the color green is dominant. It's a signature color. Can you talk about how that became such a strong element for you?
So the Risograph, my partner James Beard uses to print all of our books. It's an old duplicator, and it has set colors that were produced for the machine. And we do pretty simple color combos, usually no more than three. But green and black were some of the first standardized colors we had for the machine. So just, you know, out of necessity, we were using those a lot in the beginning. And then I actually... I hated this green when we started. I thought it was a really horrible shade of green, but now I love it. And it just became, like, entrenched in the work, and it felt right because so many of the works I produce are Gold Coast specific. And, like, the green and black is just, like, that, you know, duality between being in this, like, luscious subtropical environment on the Gulf, but also this being, like, a really, like, cement, like, like, covered,
yeah,
concrete, industrial, like, petrochemical plant, like, place. So that kind of, like, grayscale, like, fighting against the green all the time, like, it made sense to me.
Yeah.
And it just, yeah, it bled into all the other art as well.
Yeah, I think the illustrations or the paintings that you did that were, like, warning posters, or like the kind of, like, radioactive posters, like, that also, like, what were one of the first things that I saw that also really achieved that duality of using that color, like, referencing the landscape but also really connecting to this idea of, like, radioactivity or chemical or, like, human fabricated things being, like, these bright, you know, colors, like green or bright yellow or something.
Yeah, that's something I love about green is it's one of these colors that is, like, both completely natural, but on certain objects is, like, in certain mediums, looks completely unnatural and, like, wrong. So it's got, like, it's got a vibration happening.
Yeah. My last question for you is if you could share the importance of, beyond like your physical work you make, the importance of books to your life or to your practice as an artist.
Right. So I love doing the comics myself. I also, one of the things I studied when I was an art student was printmaking and multiples. And, like, I love them not only for, like, the comic form, but because I like being able to produce something that, like, anybody can have. Like, we make tons of copies. We don't, like, we do open editions, so when we print, like, 200 of these and we run out, people still want them, we just print more. Like, and I think it's really valuable to me to be able to make something that, like, you know, my friends and family can, like, have, you know, just as easily as, like, some collector who would be willing to spend more money on art, but, like, it costs $10 for both of them.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of, like, democratic element is a big deal for me.
Great. Well, thank you, Sarah.
Of course. Thank you.
This has been the Artist Digest from Blue Star Contemporary.